How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
And it's just like, why are you such an ass?
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the KevinMiller.com.
Nice. You're getting better at that. That's good.
Well, I added the dramatic pause. Yeah. You know why the dramatic pause was there?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think there was something new that I was supposed to add.
And you figured it out on your own.
It all just happened.
It's good. I think next week I want you to put in a little bit of a shark voice. Or maybe a bear's voice.
Shark it. Jesus does not appreciate being mocked. So
a little early in the show to be getting to Shark Jesus.
That's, you brought him up, not me.
I just said a shark sound. You twisted it to be Shark Jesus.
All sounds are Shark Jesus' sound. He is all sounds. He is all sights.
You know what? I wish we did a show
underwater
where there was another Christian with a strong belief in our true Lord and Savior Jesus
I would never
Christ.
Let that happen. I would never, ever let that happen. It's got to be an even playing field, one-on-one.
What would happen if you ended up with a guest on your show that also believed in Jesus?
We would, a paradox similar to that of Lost in Space would occur, and there would be a rift in time that would make us travel back, and then I would have to fly in reverse to not actually reverse the flow of the planet Earth or the rotation, but actually it would look that way to the outside eye.
You've been listening to our old podcast. Haven't you?
Nope, just remembering. But we do have a guest this week, as you saw in the description.
That's right.
He's being very professional. He's not saying a word. It would be pretty funny because we told him that we're going to do two episodes tonight. If we didn't, the first one, we did not involve him.
Just at all. Maintain this eye lock that we have with each other.
Just completely. And I hope that's not subconscious body language that I do where I'm like, listen, this is just about us right now.
Yeah.
All right? You keep your little pretty face over there.
Well, this guest, whoever he is,
we're going to set the table.
Is waiting for that window to open. He knows.
Yeah. Everybody, it's in the description that Nate Whitty is here with us.
Woo! Oh, see, there once you say his name, he appears on the podcast.
Woo!
See, there he is. Give him a proper applause, ladies and gentlemen. Nate Whitty.
Yeah.
Nate Whitty.
Pretty great. Applause. I like that. That's great.
Right? That's great. All right, settle down.
Nate Whitty was in my Second City Conservatory program.
Diving for Chickens.
Yes, was our
Which
show.
Is not a bad name.
Right?
For,
it wasn't the best name, though.
No, it wasn't
the
best.
I didn't vote for it.
But that's the problem. Have we talked about this, how much I hate most improv teams' names and sketch groups' names?
Surprised it hasn't come up, so I'm sure we have. But
well, they're usually something ridiculous that mean nothing at all to anybody.
Yeah.
It's completely unrelatable, unmarketable, just nonsense sounding.
Well, then we hit the nail on the head with that one.
Diving for Chickens is just below. I mean, it's up there with like Robot Chicken. We're like, I get it has something to do with comedy.
Wait, were we before Robot Chicken?
You were.
No?
Were we?
Or same time.
Same time.
I want to say about 06, 07. Is that when we did that?
Yeah, 06? That's about the same
something
time.
Something like that, yeah.
So you're probably right in there.
No, our second one that didn't quite make it was Electric Duck, as I remember.
That's right.
See, now that's terrible.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
no, why do we have a bird thing going on?
I have no idea. My vote was for things that rhyme with Nate. That's what I wanted to call us. Because there's a lot if you think about it.
Yeah, right?
That is a marketable show.
I think so.
It tells me who the star is.
Yeah, completely.
And it's clever. It suggests comedy. But interesting enough, you didn't go with something to deal with your last name.
I proposed one of my favorite...
A bunch of witties or something.
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So here's the thing. Like, Nate and I, we were in this conservatory all the way from level one.
Level one.
All the way through
where
all five
I did
levels.
Not belong.
What do you
Why
mean?
Not?
I got like my roommate knew some people and kind of just got me in.
Oh, All you have to do is audition for level one.
No, they wouldn't let me audition. Like, I had to pull strings to get the audition.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and then I got in. That doesn't sound right.
Well,
I think your roommate is trying to make himself sound or herself
well, no,
seem more important than they are.
I tried. They turned me away
maybe
like two or three times.
Maybe he gave you his parents' number, and then he said, Mom, this guy's going to call you.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Because I didn't use the internet at that point.
He's got to use...
His name's Brian Vestal.
Brian Vestal.
Brian Vestal, everybody.
You have to Google his name and vote for him on Paradise Hunter so that he can get a job. That's all right. I've contributed some votes.
How many?
I think I voted 5 times.
Oh, I'm like 3 or 4 for my old roommate. I'm going to work on it though.
Yeah,
I'll put it on Facebook.
Over almost 10 million people have said they voted on Facebook so far.
For
just in general.
Oh,
they click
Brian
the button.
Vestal. Oh, I see. Voted on election day.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
I get
yeah.
it. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm stupid. Because
you can click a button that says you voted. It's like
aren't
your
there 500
sticker.
Million people on Facebook?
Something like that, yeah.
Wow.
That's
well, you. I here's what I know. One thing is that you don't find 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
That's
I can
right.
tell you that right
that's
now.
Right. Yeah. And you need to be a punk genius billionaire
yeah.
to make it happen.
Yeah.
That's a movie reference.
Both of these were.
Oh.
So to backtrack is that here's my opinion of Mr. Witty, which would be better said if he were not in the room, because now it sounds like I'm blowing a lot of sunshine up his ass.
Yeah, because you've never talked about him before on the show.
That's probably true.
Never once.
Wait, I really have wait, I not?
No.
Wait.
What?
Yeah. Do I need to go back and listen? Has he been talking about me?
Well, maybe if you had been listening, you'd know.
Yeah.
Man, I thought you guys were kidding. Come over. We'll do a podcast. Wait, you got like a setup with mics and 2 computers.
Yeah, we don't mess around.
Earphones
yeah,
and
we're
stuff.
Streaming live on the
we
internet.
We have
to...
3 microphones.
Yeah. 3.
Hey, we have 5.
Why do we have 5? One's mine.
Heads up, maybe we have 4.
There's yeah. 2 on this thing, right? Is that?
Well, those don't count, but good point. He pointed to our MP3 recorder.
Which does have like Mickey Mouse ears
yeah.
on it.
It's stereo
microphone.
Recording for my stand-up crowd reaction noise. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah.
didn't work out, so yeah. now I got to buy a new mic. Anyway, so here's the thing. Back in my class is that here's my personal opinion. I think most people would agree is that whenever you take some kind of an acting class, I think in L.A. or other places as well, there's a person who you think has a chance of making it, if you would, has
yeah.
a certain star quality to them. In my opinion, Nate Witty was that person. I've highly debated saying not that person.
Yeah.
I was going to make that joke. I'm like, it's early on. I don't want to make it feel uncomfortable. That's more of like a show two to bag on the guy.
Nice.
But here's what there was one of my favorite things that happened from our conservatory class is one exercise that Mike Ross, our director, who has also been a guest on the show.
Who is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him.
He had us do an exercise where we were supposed to do something that we considered offensive. And like he had us pair up. Now him, Nate Witty, and Mr. Don Frankel created what I think is one of the most genius comedic pieces I've ever seen in my entire life. And now no one will ever see it except for the other 8 of us in that room.
Yeah, that
where they thought that, well, it's offensive. And we talked about this subject on the show because I've offended people, but they thought portraying mentally handicapped people was offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this was part of the plan or if it just happened organically. So what they essentially did was they portrayed 2 characters who one would perceive to have Down syndrome.
This you felt was the most offensive thing you could come up with?
Well, we talked about it. And since there was 2 of us, we had, you know, what we each thought was offensive. And then we put it together.
Oh.
And so Justin hasn't...
Yeah, the other part.
Your little story here.
What ended up happening was they started having a debate... On the, I don't know, the relevancy isn't the right word, the reality of God.
The existence
as
of God,
mentally
right.
handicapped people. And I thought this was brilliant. Like, I'm like, you're having what could be considered the greatest debate of mankind with the mind of what is considered the most simple minds of all. And they were, and like, each of them, like, other than their voices, each of them were making incredibly simple but profound points and counterpoints within the argument. And I'm sitting there with my jaw on the ground going, oh my God! This is amazing.
I'm smiling ear to ear just based on the premise. This is comedy gold.
Do you want to give them the title that we gave for that one? The one we had to vote at the end to see which sketches got into our final show and which ones didn't.
Here's what happened: was I said I'm writing that down. This is the way I remember it. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, yeah.
I was the treasurer secretary person or whatever you call it, where I wrote down notes of scenes that we'd done that we could use later on for our sketch show. And I go, well, I'm writing that one down. And Mike Ross already kiboshed it and was like, no, we can't do a scene like that here. It's too offensive. And I go, no, it's great. Like, I go, well, I'm going to call it Retards Talk God.
Yep.
That's what I called it. And I campaigned for that sketch all the way up until the end.
That was actually even in the running for the title of our group.
Yeah, I threw that in there too.
Retards Talk God.
I wanted
That's
it
pretty
in
much
there.
This show.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. I think so. Or at least one of us is retarded. I'll let the nerd decide who. But anyway.
Don't refer to Nate as the nerd.
I know. I was wondering, is that me? Because you actually in our email referred to
the other thing that came up within our time at the Second City Conservatory.
Wait, can we just go back to Retards Talk God? Like, I just want to point out.
I want to hear it.
It wasn't funny. It wasn't funny at all, but it was. Like,
hilarious.
I think my character ended up crying. Unfortunately, I ended up crying. My characters cried a lot in a lot of our sketches that we would like workshop. And crying's not that funny.
No. Well, crying's not that's funny because Justin back in the day would always go for an angry emotion or a crying emotion. So maybe
I think
you guys.
Angry's funny.
When he says angry or crying, I perceive that to be over the top.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Like, I didn't want to play middle.
Every time you were pushed to a place where the scene needed to go to the next level, trying not to use improv.
I also
terms,
use love. I used over emotion though. That was my thing.
But most often, like in the wheel of four emotions, it would most often go towards you crying.
Well, because I feel like to me, it's the most organic thing of being angry or upset about something. Yeah. But very few opportunities presented themselves to fall in love with someone.
I think
I fell in love with Nate Whitty.
Except for us.
To cry about.
That's another story.
So,
before you move on from Talk Like Retard God, let's hear a little bit of these. What did it sound like?
Oh, man, this is years ago.
Yeah, I don't know if I wasn't in it.
I know,
just
but remember,
it.
I'm sure you said some. There were profound things.
There were.
Give us a little. Just give us
what
a,
I remember. Actually, what my point was how my character was arguing. How could there be a God who would make someone like me? And I started crying about it.
That's what I remember. That. That was one of my. Now I'm remembering. That was one of my favorite parts. That I was like, oh my God! Like, because here's the thing. Like, people could probably fight this and say that it's not.
About.
Yeah, it's not funny.
It was not funny.
But
at all.
To me, I think that it was what intrigued me about doing sketches and Second City.
Yeah.
Was that the idea of doing comedy sports was purely for fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was no point. There was no message or anything like that. And to me, no matter where you stand on the debate, like this is something that I thought was thought-provoking and interesting.
Yep.
And I did think it was funny. I thought it was very funny, just the contrast of having this incredible debate about but done by these mentally simpleton people.
Right.
You know what I mean? But yeah.
So and what
was your you said
like?
You said you had an issue or something. Oh yeah, do the voice.
Oh, I don't even remember what the voice was.
The both of them you were just kind of like Corey from...
I don't want to have this recorded, me do it, because that's what I thought was... what I brought to the table was portraying mentally handicapped people with Down syndrome.
Yeah. That's like, what you said was offensive.
I thought that would be pretty offensive.
And
then Don Frankel said, oh, I think it's offensive when people discuss religion or having like a religious discussion. So I was like,
oh, interesting.
All right, well, here we go.
That was what he was offended by, was the idea of talking about God.
And it might have been something more specific, but I mean, this is, you know,
several years ago
now.
It's really sad that we can remember. I'm offended by someone expressing their ideas about probably the most important thing in the universe.
But well, I think what he's reacting to is that I think that he's reacting to the idea of someone else. Because here's what I think.
Yeah,
I think that you guys, I say you guys, like you're black people. Listen, there's not a differentiation.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those kind of podcasts.
You really should have listened to this before you got in here.
No, I'm saying that I think that people, there's this view, and you and I have talked about this. It's what I think is what makes you, in my opinion, as worthless as it is, a good Christian in that you wear it on your sleeve. You are completely open to talk about it and completely passionate about it, but you know that there is a time and a place. It's
right.
To me, I feel like it's like an alcoholic. Like Don Frankel, to speak for him, is he can't help himself until he's ready to help himself.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying is that this guy, he's so turned off by religion that he couldn't stand being near a conversation about it. I understand if somebody doesn't want to hear preached to.
That's what I think he's talking about.
But that's
I don't think he's talking
about
overhearing people talking about God. I think he's talking about being told, hey,
like,
here's
like
what you need.
Like seeing somebody watching porn on the airplane, which...
I've done.
You've done.
It's not porn. It was the love scene in the cooler.
Well, that's different, though. That's
soft core at best.
Yeah, that's pretty worse.
Oh, yeah, with William H. Macy. Yeah,
actually, that is that whole movie.
It's a good movie. I like
him. It's fantastic. I actually saw the anatomy of a scene on the airplane. And they did the cooler. They did, you know, if you're familiar with the show Anatomy of a Scene, where they break down.
What is that from?
It's
I want to watch it.
It was on cable. It's a great show.
On cable.
You can get it on Netflix, I'm sure.
Netflix.
By now.
Yes.
And you almost got him. Go back Pepsi all over the board.
Would have shut it down. Never heard anybody be that excited about Netflix.
Yes.
Netflix.
We just got it. It's awesome. I love it.
Trust me. Listen.
Arrested Development whenever I want.
I got it. We'll get back to you. I'm sorry. But real quick on this Netflix thing. I got it like a year after it first started.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And recently
you called him the early adopter.
I know. He was probably all over it, though.
I knew about it before it was big.
Exactly. So here's what happened was it was actually brought up in a media theory or literacy class at San Jose State. The instructor brought it up to us, and I was like, oh, my God, that's perfect for me. I'm going to go get that tonight. And I did.
Yeah.
And it was great because I've occasionally lost a DVD and told Netflix that I never received the DVD to begin with.
Oh, wow.
And
that's dishonest.
In the 5+ years that I've had this, almost 8, I think I want to say. Yeah, no, it has to be almost 10 years because it was back in San Jose State days in 2000, 2001.
Are you kidding me? It's been around that long?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, this was DVD's when it been around that long? Was it like VHS back in the day?
No.
How old are you, Nate?
Don't mock him. He's 30.
I'm asking.
He is 30.
I'm 30 years old.
Okay, well, don't act like you're 14.
but really, DVD's...
Look at his face.
I know. That's why I was like, wait a minute.
I'm wizened around the eyes. Look at him.
He's like a hot chick. He doesn't have to know stuff.
That is true. He's a good-looking man.
Here's my point, is that it came around just as DVDs were happening, and I got in before they were... Now they're known where it's like, if you need something obscure that you want to be able to rent, you go to Netflix, and they have it. This was when they only had like Blockbusters within their inventory kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, recently when I complained about losing all these, I hit 10. No, which is, I guess, a flag, and they shut down your account you've lost 10 DVDs.
You've lost 10 DVDs?
Over 10 years, though. But
that's one a year, bro.
Hold on. 4 of them within the last 3 months. That's where they
came where
they're.
Oh.
Although he didn't explain it that way. He said, really, it's because you hit 10 total.
Why 4 in the last 3 months?
Because I was traveling and I left 3 of them in a seat pocket on a flight. And then I couldn't find one of them at my mom's house.
So 3 at once.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then what happened was I think I lost a couple more in another flight or something like that because I ended up paying for 2 of them because they charge you only $14. So I was like, I'll pay it. But the guy said, he goes, well, let me just see what's going on here. And they went, oh, wow. Yeah, never mind. Don't worry about this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this happened to you. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I just saw how long you've been with us, and this is stupid that we would do this to you. I apologize.
Wow.
I think I'd had a membership before he even started working there.
Born. He's probably younger than Nate. Yeah.
So I was like,
he goes, back when they had VHS.
Forget it. And I remember saying, I said, I don't mind paying for him if it's easier. He's like, no, you don't have to pay for that. No, that's stupid. No.
Wow.
I'm sorry that your account was...
So you're right. Your idea of one per year is probably a low average compared to what most people
are. He told me that there are people that have had issues with postal workers. Like what they do is they have a whole loss prevention team that if they track by like zip code and postal routes and all that stuff to figure out if there's he said one time we caught a neighbor who was doing it within a neighborhood. The other time we've caught a ton of postal workers that try and pocket them. But all of them were missing on their delivery route and it was easy to find out. And that's, that's what they do. And I'm sure that they're contributing huge amounts of money to the Postal Service because it's all done through the Postal Service.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not FedEx.
How do they make money? I do not understand.
Are you kidding?
Wait.
Are you kidding?
No, yeah. This is a funny podcast, right? That was a
not
joke.
For us.
Good one. Good one. Wait, that was pretty good.
So anyway, retards talking about God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've sidetracked from your point.
The how they make money is the fact that they're like a gym membership. You pay them regardless of whether or not you use the services.
Yeah.
And they own the library. Renting stuff is, if you're the guy that can rent stuff, is always going to make money over the people that are not buying them.
And the sheer volume of DVDs going through the Postal Service gets them a huge bulk rate discount,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Oh, that's good.
That's really their only expense is the purchasing of the movies and the mailing. Yep. And then the staff and all that stuff.
What about actors with the streaming? Come on. Where's our residuals?
Wow.
I know. It's all turning digital, I'm afraid.
Of course it is.
I know.
It's already going to be renegotiated.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's already going to be renegotiated, I thought.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
All right.
This last time around didn't go so well for us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yikes.
Whatever. I don't know. I yeah. think that...
You should start doing stand-up. There's no rules or laws. Not as much money, I'm sure.
Yeah, but. Well, you can get $20 sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I also think that maybe actors shouldn't be getting that much money to begin with, because maybe
41% of my check goes straight to the government every time I get paid.
I'm just saying, maybe it'll discourage
41%. Mm-hmm. Then my agent, then my manager. It dissipates so.
What's
going to
happen when you have two Republicans on this show? What's going to happen then, Kevin? How's that going to work out?
I'm kind of a Republican.
No, you don't. You either in or you're out. You son of a bitch, okay. Communist out. Motherfucker.
I'm out. Pretty sure. That's...
Oh, we could say those words.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I think we have some things to stitch up behind us. Uh-huh.
First, we were talking about retards talk God.
You solved that. That's all.
I was going to tell another story about Second City.
Yeah, tell us about. Bring us back to the Second City.
Second City.
Why are
oh,
we?
Sorry, he was going. So the other story that happened was an early on in our level two class, Don and Valerie, both of them, they did.
Isn't that a show?
It should be.
I'm serious.
I would love to watch
and
them.
And Valerie, that was a show. Yeah. It was paired up with Alf. No, and Valerie.
I don't remember.
Call in now. There's nobody in the chat room. God, why do we do this?
Gives you a job.
It does.
So I keep volunteering every week the idea of you doing the sound effects and you could put them in there because, you know, you like to have a job and I like to talk and do sound effects late. So yeah,
that's true.
You know what I mean?
Here
like
comes
now.
One.
Oh, good for you.
All right. We're swapping.
All right.
Next it's like
week.
We're on Kevin and Bean. I like this.
Well, good. What story were you going to tell?
So Don and Valerie were doing a scene, and
it's a sexy story.
They were starting to fall in love or whatever within the scene.
It was a really touching scene.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't really funny again, but it was touching. Like, it was entertaining.
I thought it was hilarious. No, I'm kidding. Because I thought they were mentally handicapped people falling in love, which
were
doesn't
you
happen.
In the same class?
Because they're infertile. You know what I mean?
No, they are not.
They are infertile.
Oh. Have you been to Florida? Come on.
Yeah, there it is. There goes all the Florida listeners. I don't think we have listeners in Florida. Anyway, we have one. We have one that I know of. What's up, Sweetman? So anyway, they do the scene, but they don't kiss because we've only known each other for maybe 18 weeks or 13 weeks or whatever at that point.
Yeah, not long. Yeah, yeah. Probably not that long.
So then the teacher...
they hug. You get to this like wonderful moment. Climax where it's like they've been reunited and they should kiss, and they hug
and they do the friendly pat on the back.
Yeah.
Aww.
So then Mark Evan Jackson, who was our instructor for level two, he said,
"Who
hey,
was just on an awesome commercial? I just saw him like last night on
the commercial,
like
the
insurance or something.
Yeah, he's pretty funny in that." So anyway, he says, "Hey, you guys are actors. You're gonna kiss. All right. If the scene calls it, that's what you're gonna do." And then it got awkward in the room because he was kind of scolding everybody.
Yeah,
and
he's you guys are adults.
Yeah.
Like, kiss. It's not a big deal. Do it.
Oh.
I said, before this experience is over, I will kiss Nate Whitty on the mouth.
And he's sitting right next to me.
Yeah. He was clearly the most attractive person.
So you were the Steve Carell to his Ryan Howard.
Exactly.
No, to his BJ Novak.
Exactly. So then what happened was is that I would I think we make reference to it, but nothing ever came of it. And then on the last day.
He would bring it up a lot.
I would.
Yeah, you brought it up
a lot.
Like, it was
really?
It was so that it was like a running joke through our... Like, that was level two, so level
this
three, level four, level five.
Very normal, Justin, but normally he directs that energy towards the underage teenage girl.
We didn't
in
have
the
that.
Room. So it defaced...
No, we didn't.
All the chicks were kind of older.
I am the closest to the younger underage teenage girl.
Yeah, he's kind of a tweener.
In most rooms, actually.
In gay porn, he could qualify as a tweener.
I don't even know what a DVD is. So I think that what we're learning is that it just clicks into the most attractive person in the room for you.
Yes.
So
because I say it because in my mind I'm thinking everybody is thinking that they want a slice of that, and I'm basically laying claim. I'm planting my flag
as a married man with a child and a half.
Gay is not cheating. We proved that with Prop 8. Thank you, California.
That logic is flawed, but go on.
So then at the last day on level 4 or 5, I think it was,
is
for
that
us
the
to,
water level?
When you said water level, I was like, what the fuck? Now I get it. Are you talking about in a video game?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought you were saying, first I thought it was like a level of a beaker.
Oh,
like,
it had like, several levels.
Like we have to, tread water like we're Navy SEALs training while we're improvising sketches now at level 4 or 5.
Level 4.
It was the fire level. But anyway, so I forgot about this whole thing or whatever. And I can't remember if even
Mike,
you brought it
up. No, Mike Ross brought it
Mike
up.
Mike Ross brought it up. So I came up with, I thought, and if I could be, say so myself, a pretty brilliant idea for a sketch that I literally pulled out of my ass the last second that I had to do
so
it.
So you improvised it.
That would be unfair to improv. But what I did was I came up with an idea where I say that these two guys are like manly guys. And you know how like manly guys will call each other gay or homo or whatever, you know, and they think it's cool or whatever. I said, what if they keep doing that to the point to where one of them dares the other one to kiss him to prove that he's not gay? That's how secure he is in his masculinity.
This isn't how I remember the story.
Oh, really?
But continue. I like this. This is entertaining for me.
So then,
it's a trip down fantasy lane.
So then we improvised it, but we didn't kiss the first time we improvised it in the workshop. And so Mike said, he goes, I think it's funny. He goes, but you have to kiss or we can't do it.
Right.
And so I said, well, everybody knows that I'm down. I go, it's up to Mr. Witty.
He kisses his dad on the mouth, apparently. Do you still do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't done it in a while. I don't know. I remember there being a moment where I think I felt like maybe my dad was getting uncomfortable with the idea. But it was like I remember being 15 years old or even older. I remember being almost 20. And when Natalie and I were living at his house, and I would give him a kiss goodnight on the lips or whatever. And it was no big deal to me, but evidently that's inappropriate.
I think I was about 6 or 7 when I like gave my dad a kiss on the mouth and then pulled back and was like, that doesn't feel right anymore.
Well, maybe it's because my stepmom, who's been on the show too, says that everybody should have at least one homosexual experience in their life. So maybe that's
you
why.
You have yours repeatedly with your
my father.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's safe. It's safe. We have a safe word. He knows what my limits are. I know what his. We're genetically
What's your safe
slowed.
Word?
Huh?
What's your safe word? Well,
kiss me again.
Kevin, stop reading my blog. But so we did the sketch. I think it was very good, in my opinion. It ended up making it into the show. I thought it was very funny. It was worth it for 3 straight weeks, 2 or 4 or whatever.
So you kiss that often?
I counted because it was bothersome to me, but I think 12 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you not only did it, but then obsessed over it and made a tally.
I don't know if obsessed is really...
I think it's fair. You lost sleep about it because you felt that your feelings... You started thinking about, why is it that I don't have these uncomfortable feelings like I did with my father at 6 with Justin Worsham? And you felt the chemistry. We had a chemistry, I feel.
I did actually enjoy
the scene.
He
came home and talked about it forever. In fact, when I finally met you, whatever, 6 or 8 or 10 weeks ago, and you...
It's been 5 months.
Since 5 months ago. Before
I
was married.
That yeah, no, it was before you were married.
That makes sense.
It was in May.
I didn't realize he went to the same church until the day you proposed to Kat. That's when he was coming in for the second service right after you proposed. He's like, hey.
I was like, what are you doing here? I think that's exactly what I said.
Those were your words.
And I was like, yeah, that's really insensitive of me, but whatever.
I wasn't offended. It makes sense. Here's the thing. Like, I'm not anti-religion by any means, but I don't fit into the equation, I think, in that. Like, for instance, my friend had me tape her wedding, and she was Mormon. And we had to wait outside because they don't let you watch the ceremony unless you're Mormon and pure and all that
and
stuff.
So how did you videotape that?
I was outside. We had a bunch of us that weren't Mormon that were waiting. And so including the mother, because the mother had been divorced, so she couldn't go in there. So we're hanging out, and I was messing around with the people, and the maid of honor, who decided that since the bride was so easygoing, she was going to fulfill the role of Bridezilla, she comes up to me, and she goes, Justin, you need to calm down. This is a place for reverence, not for... What did she say? Rowdiness. That's what she said. This is a place for reverence, not
that's
rowdiness.
True.
And I go, well, then what the hell did you invite me for?
Good for you.
Exactly, because that's my thing. I don't fit into the hey, let's be quiet.
And you pushed a gnome garden gnome down, and
yeah, he was wearing all white. That's why I pushed him down.
Yeah, you're like yeah, and it was really a guy, and
he was sitting still and small for a stature.
And then you were like, dude, shut up, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you were there. On my block.
This is good that I can say something unfunny and you make it funny. I really like this game. Do All you right. want to cut up a piece of pizza and feed it to the people outside?
Dead weight on that one. Total dead weight.
No, see, you still did it. You made it funny.
That's what I do. So that covers up the Second City thing. What else?
Well, like I was saying, you were so infamous in Justin's life that I knew this story about you. And then when you finally connected the dots, I was like,
that video is actually online.
Really?
Yeah. I actually have all of our sketches. It's on my old website that I have taken down that page. But
old
like you can.
NateWitty.com.
NateWitty.com/ I think divingforchickens.htm. Try that.
Didn't you get the Diving for Chickens URL or something?
You thought you guys were going to get a sitcom? Is that why you did that?
Yeah, I was hoping.
Really?
Just me and Justin kissing over.
Crazy whore on Diving for Chickens.
Kiss Me, You Pansy, right there.
Yeah, there it is.
It's a terrible, terrible. The quality is horrible, but
I mean, okay. Is the video real bad? Because we're not going to be able to see it at all.
Yeah, no, people hate when we do this, but I just want to make sure it's the right one.
No, that's it.
Yeah, there it is. That's Look us. At that.
Can you link that to...
And can I just say, like, my memory of how this whole thing went down is Mike Ross said, hey, Justin, if you're going to kiss Nate, this is your last chance to do it. And he says, all right, here we go. I'm doing a scene. And they're like, what is it? What are you going to call it? He's like, I'm calling it Kiss Me, You Pansy. And then we just got up there and we just started improvising. Yeah. And my game was to find some way to not kiss you. And what started off is you started being all manly and I started attacking your masculinity for not being sensitive enough. And I thought I had you in this nice little trap where you're like defending your masculinity and how, you should be more masculine. And I'm talking about my feelings and stuff like that. So it would seem that I would be comfortable kissing you, but you had to play your game. Yeah. And we went back and forth with that. And then finally just like, kiss me, you pansy. And then I didn't do it.
Yeah.
In the first one.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think that does make much more sense to what had happened. Because I know that, here's what I know. I know Mike was very interested in the bit that I had of eventually kissing you. I think he also liked the idea of male-on-male affection in the show.
Right. But we did have one gay guy in our group who was a little uncomfortable with it. We had to discuss it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Trey. He wasn't...
Right.
He wasn't a big fan of it. He thought it was sort of insulting.
Oh, well, there
Oh, that's right. That was his retards talk God moment in that when we were... We had all of them on 3x5 cards, and we were voting what we thought were the best ones and narrowing it all down. And he goes, okay, well, these are here on the edge, you know, and where would anybody place it? And he's like, well, I think that this is attacking homosexuality. And then I remember Mike saying, well, it's up to you guys, but in my opinion, it's attacking masculinity and homophobia, not attacking homosexuality.
And I agree, and I thought it was really... It ended up being my favorite scene to do.
Yeah.
It was really great, except for the kissing part, but it was really great.
He made it through it.
And then he told me...
Was that your closer? Was that your show closer?
No. We had another one, which for our closer was... when we improvised it, it was so perfect.
You say like, improvised?
Yeah. Like we just got up there with some idea about the...
It's like your pronunciation. Yeah. That's what... Improvised it.
You didn't improvise it.
We improved it.
Yeah, there it is.
That's what we did.
We improved it. We improvised it.
That's
and
okay.
It was perfect. And then whenever we redid it and did it for the show... It never got the laughs. Like people, we were all rolling.
Yeah,
you remember which one? It's the death penalty one.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
where you were like the warden, and there were three of us who were the crazy.
We did it once, and it was great.
On the death row.
And then after that, yeah,
and that was our closer because it seemed just perfect.
What ended up being our closer though? Did we keep it?
That was it.
Wow, it must not have worked because I don't remember it after that. I remember doing it like workshopping.
It's online.
Wow.
I got the whole show on there. So.
Anything except for retards talking about God. It's all on.
Yeah, that's not there.
Old Nate Witty's website.
If I would have had a camera to record every improvised sketch, that would be on my website.
That is thousands of hours of material.
No.
Okay.
I would have weeded it down to just that.
Oh.
JustinRosham.com. Retards.God.
So your guys' history then, now that we've covered Nate's and my history, your guys' history is through Ecclesia, am I right?
Yeah. So about 5 months ago when we realized we knew each other, we had a long conversation about kissing you. And that's not a joke. So once I realized
how long is long?
I don't know.
Well, that was our first real conversation. With
longer
well,
than once you're talking about kissing another man.
We talked about you. About
we realized that we had you in common. Mm-hmm. And you have the distinction of being the first man that I ever kissed. Besides my father, I guess, or the only man. No, yeah. Actually, no, because I've had to play a homosexual character in a play summer of 2009, and I had to kiss this other guy. Like,
you're welcome.
A bunch
you're
of
welcome
times.
For breaking that nervousness that you
know
would
what?
Have had.
It was just as bad.
Just as bad.
It
but
was
you,
just as bad. And me
have to admit,
and that guy were the only straight guys involved in the entire production. So our director, our costume guy, like the producer.
Everyone's like, yeah, yeah, girls.
The door guy. The,
but they, it was nice because
the
they,
audience,
they
the under, ballet.
Yeah, they understood. And so we had this like private, like the first time where we had to do it. And he's like, oh, it was rough.
Was, like, was it a kiss-kiss or was it a...
It was more passionate than what we shared.
Yeah, because but there was no tongue involved or anything.
Better not. You're
actually,
professionals.
Actually, what ended up being more intimate and kind of weird was we had to dance at one point together to like to Lauryn Hill's "You're Too Good to Be True." Just a nice little slow dance. The
were
lights
you guys gay
were all
lovers
dim.
In the scene, or what was happening?
Yeah, we were like high school, 17-year-old high school guys, and I was like the newbie to the gay scene.
In 2009, so you were 19 playing a high schooler.
I was 19 playing a 17-year-old. No, I was
29.
29 playing a 17-year-old, yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Theater.
It wasn't very realistic.
I just used my
I had a twin, too. I had an identical twin sister.
Was it you playing both parts?
Yeah, I wore a wig. No.
Are you serious?
No, not at all.
I don't know. I never saw your show.
Lindsay Kraft. Lindsay Kraft was my twin, and she looks nothing like me.
You're supposed to believe that they're identical. That's okay. I went to a college.
We wore the same outfits.
See, that's clever. Because in the college I went to at San Jose State, they decided to put on a show where its key feature is that the lead woman, the starring character in the role, is Asian, and they cast a white woman. Oh. And I remember being in classes.
Did she do it in yellowface?
Yeah, exactly.
That would be horrible.
That would have been better, because halfway through the show, people were like, oh, she's supposed to be Asian. Oh, that's why everybody's so racist to her. Like, I have no idea what's happening. Why are they making these Chinese jokes to this woman? She was like an 8-foot-tall redhead with glasses.
I remember this.
Yeah, totally.
I think I had to serve a night of tech on that show.
I believe it.
That's hilarious.
You're like, what's happening?
I remember thinking the same thing, going, really? Really? Because I remember thinking that when you go into college, it's supposed to be different than high school. I was like, and we're in San Jose State.
Yep.
Probably competes with Irvine to have the most Asian students in the world. And then they cast a 6-foot-tall Anglo-Saxon chick.
The first show I ever saw there was my mentor's play, Die, Die, Diana. And it was 13 months after Princess Di's death. And he wrote this farce based on the circumstances surrounding her death, because there's a lot of, you know, intrigue and government conspiracies that maybe the royal family had her done in. And it's a musical comedy, and it was actually banned on British shores, and it was a big deal, and it caught a lot of press. But it was the first show I ever saw. They staffed it with all the people in college and such, and kind of the shtick of it is that the set looks like a sixth grade review. So it's like glittered covered cardboard and old chairs, and there's a minimalistic set.
Like, that's a convention.
Yeah, and they're trying to show like this is royalty, and yet we're putting this on a pageant. But I didn't get that, because all I could see were the poor performances of my fellow classmen
in front of bedazzled cardboard.
Exactly. And I, because, you know, unless you have amazing singers and amazing actors and amazing
the
dancers,
musical's hard to pull off.
Yeah, it without great looking sets, I thought what the hell have I? This is a state university. I'm paying how much per unit? And this is what we do. And then the next semester, they put on a new show they put running water in the middle of this, is a waterfall, and there were elephants walking through the state. I'm like, oh, okay, so they do know how to build the set.
Yeah.
But before that, yeah, that's San Jose State's theater department.
So then now, here's what I want to talk about, though. I hope I'm not jumping subjects.
That's okay. Nate's bored.
You're bored, so, Nate? Yeah. How come?
Well, you know. I thought this was.
Do we talk
second,
about? Do we talk funny. About our relationship enough?
Well, we talked about Justin.
You're the first person to be a guest on the show that is a volunteer at our church outside of my wife.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, she wasn't really a guest. She forced
her way on.
She had a camp.
Yeah, yeah.
No, she didn't. But I was,
you're like the first person that I have a relationship with as director of volunteer resources and volunteer. So, oh,
cool. And I'm pretty sure that he's the first guest that essentially comes from your end of the table. If you, we've had mutual friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But every other guest I've booked, this one was all you.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So, Nate.
I feel privileged.
That.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Do you guys
want to
be non-mentally handicapped people talking about God? Is there...
What do you
think? You have that in common?
Sure. Well, what do you think of Joseph Barkley?
Oh, I think got opinions.
I like him.
Yeah, yeah.
You're wrong. You think you like him. I've
never had a conversation with him.
Exactly.
He has no idea who I am.
Exactly.
I will have to introduce myself.
That's why you like him.
Is he listening?
He's an avid listener.
Oh, that's why you like him.
good thing my knee-jerk reaction is, meh.
It's all right. He's used to it on this show. I don't know why he listens.
He is a colossal asshole.
He's the pastor of our church.
And a colossal asshole.
Wait, why is he a colossal asshole? I want to know why.
Okay.
Why do I need to leave this church and stop volunteering?
You don't have to stop volunteering. Here's the thing.
Okay,
I will say this. I will say that his sermons are bar none better than any I've ever seen in my entire life. I will give him that. As a pastor, I think he is A++. As an individual, I think he's an asshole. And here's why.
So you secretly love him, don't you?
Oh, no.
They've kissed.
His wife listens, too, and that's going to be uncomfortable for him to explain now. Tessa is a play on my name, but that's uncomfortable for everyone because we didn't even know each other.
5-year-old daughter. Yeah. 4-year-old.
But anyway, here's the thing. When we first started this, a lot of the equipment that you see here before you was here. This recorder is a $400 recorder.
Ooh.
That we did not have at the time. At the time, we had a $100 recorder that did not record as high a quality as this does. And he was a listener of the show because he's a fan of Mr. Kevin Miller. And thought the show was pretty good, I think. But he said, hey, you guys should use a compressor because your show sounds like shit.
He did not say that.
What were his words?
We've talked about this almost every other episode, and you think you can just change the story at this point?
Clearly, I did it with stories with Nate Whitty. Maybe that's my thing,
I
guess. That
is your thing.
It is my thing?
You mold reality to fit your own life.
All right, I love it. In my world, he's an asshole. Yeah. Y'all's world, he's probably good to go.
He's a pretty decent guy.
I find that hard to believe, though.
Yeah.
But I still don't know why he's an asshole. I want to hear the
because
story.
Here's the thing. We had a show.
Because he gave you a better... So you're already
putting in his sermon. See, this is the problem that you guys have.
Yeah.
You're under the Cobra Charming spell of his sermons that are so great, so amazing, so profound,
yeah.
so thought-provoking.
See, before, when he did that, he wasn't actually the lead pastor of our church yet.
Oh.
He was just a guy. He was not just a guy. He was the worship administrator.
But still, he's using what I will call a Jedi mind trick of charisma on you. That there's... You don't climb that ladder unless you are able to, is what I'm saying.
Go on.
You know what I mean? So he could get up there and he could, you know, wax poetic about something he is very passionate about and should be, right? But then when it comes to things that aren't in his wheelhouse.
No, music is his wheelhouse.
We don't do music on the show.
Sound is his. He's a sound scientist. He's a...
Ooh,
he's a, I have his new CD right in my bag.
He has a CD?
He's a recording artist.
He's a recording artist.
He's traveled around the country. He has three
he's
bands.
He's traveled around the country?
Yeah.
Thanks. My voice was getting tired, so I appreciate that.
I was picking up for you.
That's good. Yeah, he's not a novice to sound.
Okay. Then,
he's a novice to speaking.
Okay, I'll give him that. I'll give him
Finish your story, because
I'm trying, but
you're angry.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
It's going to be pretty much like that for the whole story.
Because here's what happens. What happens is that, okay, say he's a scientist of sound,
yeah.
all right? Then where he is a layman is in courtesy, in consideration.
How did he... Sensitivity. What did he do wrong?
Compassion.
All he did was step on your pride, because he told me... Hey, you guys should probably get a compressor that'll help it so that when Natalie talks in the background, you'll be able to hear her.
There's my other problem. He wants my wife to be heard on this show.
So
clearly he's not listening to what I'm saying.
So I come to Justin
and he's trying to intervene in what is a very serious argument within my marriage.
Oh, you love him.
And he is trying to come in here and he's trying to say something like, oh, let's let your wife get a word in on your show, because I'm sure you don't get a word in your marriage. So why should you be able to have your own little time where you could talk with your best friend and just have it between
between you two, just you and him, mano a mano.
There are very few things that I can say I guarantee, but I guarantee he did not infer that at all to anything he was suggesting.
There are a lot of things that I can guarantee, one of them being he's a colossal asshole.
All right, well, let's throw it to Nate.
You've heard both sides of it. Now, here's the thing.
Whoa, okay. Have you really gotten your point out? Because I haven't heard your point at all.
I'm telling you.
Like, is this really the end of the story?
Wow. This is the issue.
You guys have really drank the Kool-Aid that is Joseph Barkley, and I'm working hard to pull you back to the
Joseph
light.
Said, you guys should get a compressor to help it so Natalie can be heard on the show. I told Justin, he flips out, and he's like, who the hell is this asshole to tell me to get a compressor? And we've been talking about it for over a year since it's happened.
Did you get a compressor?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, hold on. Before we all think we're very funny and Joseph Barkley is right, let me first say I tried the compressor, didn't work as well as the limiter. So the scientist of sound, with his lay abilities on consideration and compassion, almost like a single-celled organism when it comes to compassion.
Which was cheaper?
Huh?
Which was cheaper?
They were the same. They didn't cost any money. Oh, okay. They were built in within the software I used to export it.
He was suggesting to get a compressor.
Well, I didn't even know that aspect of it. So he's like, I know you're not making any money off this thing, but maybe you should drop $400 for a compressor because it would sound
better.
You bought
this board and these mics.
$75. These mics, $100.
These laptops.
Yours free. This show, priceless. 14-year-old MasterCard reference, even more priceless.
Yeah, how long are they going to milk that? All right, I've rested my case. I'm ready to throw it to the verdict.
Okay.
You want to keep going?
It depends on what his decision is. Right. I feel like...
No, it doesn't work that way.
So if I pick your side, then you're done?
No, yeah. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to subpoena it or whatever.
I think it should work that way, because if he doesn't understand that Joseph Barkley is a colossal asshole, then I have failed to make my point properly.
In a court of law, here's what happens. You,
this isn't a court of law. Are you a lawyer?
Shut your mouth.
Are you a judge?
Shut up.
Are you registered to vote? Nate Whitty. Are you registered to vote?
We both present our cases. We rest our case. We throw it to the jury. They make a decision. If you don't like it, you can appeal it. We get a new judge.
If this were a court of law, I wouldn't be allowed to interview the jury like I have been.
Yeah, but this isn't a court of law. So I rest my case.
Now, by using his court of law analogy, right, and seeing how flawed that is, I'm saying let's put that into evidence. Exhibit B, if you would. Exhibit A being the fact that he's a colossal asshole. Exhibit B being his flawed lawyer court analogy. You know what I mean? Who do you think is better?
You're actually using the system to prove itself. You realize that. by saying...
To disprove itself.
By using evidence and those terms, you're using lawyerism.
Yeah.
And then saying that
what
that's
I'm really trying... When in Rome is what I'm saying.
Go ahead.
If it takes talking in circles to get you guys to understand what I'm saying, that's what I'm bringing to the table.
You are a Republican.
So here's my thing. Is there something that you're, let's say, pretty good at? You know what I mean? Not outstanding, but you're like, you know, I feel like I have a firm grasp. Like maybe it's making pancakes or something like that.
Wow, that's all Nate's good at?
You couldn't come up
with something decent like fixing a car?
See, this is what Joseph Barkley teaches him to do, to just randomly attack out of nowhere.
Saying, Nate, I think you're more strong than
Joseph
someone
Joseph Barkley
just...
is the closest thing to a terrorist I've ever met. I'll put that on the record.
Nate,
and if
I
that's Big Brother listening, I think they swing by his house and do a little interview of those little girls and see what they know
a lot more
about
than
schematics of big, huge buildings here in Los Angeles.
Just listen to me.
He secretly loves him, doesn't he?
He does. He really does.
This is like false bravado. This is like our Kiss Me, You Pansy scene.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Every time
you're doing that character right now.
First of all, let's
everyone
remember,
go watch Kiss Me, You Pansy. Look it up. It's on Google Video. And you'll see what Justin's doing right now.
First of all, let me remind you that you are a guest on this program. Do not hijack this show.
I have another show, Nate, so if he gets you off this, we can go to my show.
Try to pull a Rod Hassler and explain to me my comedy.
It's called The Compressor Show.
Is it you and JB? Is that what he goes by? Yeah, his little radio voice is JB? I'm like, hey, I'm JB.
You guys, JKB.
If everybody could just compress their life into what the bare essentials are, then maybe it would be better. It's a limiter, Barkley. It's a limiter. Maybe you should throw that on your little bass machine and maybe throw a CD out for that. Maybe you give me a sample of your demo of your CD and I'll run it through what we got going on here. It's a hard limiter for the hard times that are coming to you, my friend.
Nate.
Now I went all professional wrestling on him.
I've been playing too much WWE.
Yeah, that was good.
Nate, what do you think?
I have seen no evidence of Barkley being... But I haven't met the guy. Being an asshole. Wow. But I have not met the guy.
Well, that's been our show. Wedding, you could send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com.
We're still broadcasting.
Nope. Not anymore. Pulling the plug.
In my wedding, Justin was the best man.
Put a limiter on the time.
Joseph was the officiant. Uh-huh. And they had a wonderful moment together. It was probably one of the funniest moments in the whole wedding.
I saved him, is what happened.
Yeah, it was very funny.
He didn't know what to do. Probably what, his third wedding?
Maybe.
Oh, that got too real. Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe. He probably done a dozen at this point. Maybe around there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, it looked like his third, so I'm just saying.
Let's go back to me. Nate, what's it like being a volunteer at Ecclesia?
It's the good way to meet people.
You don't
is
have
that the right answer?
Yeah, that is the right
all
answer.
All right, perfect.
But
you have talking points? Is there an orientation?
I do. Have you read my blog?
Apparently.
I do is pick up equipment for you guys and then give you my shit.
Yeah, thanks,
You're
by
welcome.
The way, for those walkie-talkies.
No tax deduction.
Have you met people?
I have, but it's something that you have to actually decide to do.
Yes, that is true.
You have to decide to do it. Because I was anonymous at that church for about a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who you were.
About a year.
So, and when you made that decision, what did that decision look like?
Well, to start volunteering, but then I think I started like doing the whole like, there's like a welcome friendship, shake your neighbor's hand time. And I would do that and I would try to like connect with people, but then I would never see those people ever again. Or I wouldn't be able to find them.
Yeah.
You don't have like a same seat you can go to every time?
You could, but not everybody does that.
Well, yeah, I would always try to sit in the same sort of area just so that I could kind of be in the middle.
I feel like a really good lead pastor would set it up to where people could meet people more often.
We do. That's actually, we've spent a lot of time working on that actually.
Really?
Yeah. Several hours.
It's showing in Mr. Anonymous for a year.
Why
don't you try and compress the amount of time that people can meet Joseph Barkley?
He shows that we can't force anybody.
You stirred up a lot of anger. I mean, I'm having a hard time moving on.
I know, okay. I love it. It's good. It's going to be like this all night.
Here's what I feel like. I hope that other people that listen to the show, because we have probably about 700 people that listen to the show on a given week. And then after a while, it becomes 1,000 because people keep listening and like finding it later on. I hope that other people besides Joseph Barkley are listening to this on their treadmill or the cubicle or in their car laughing. Otherwise, it's just for him. It's just for him to...
Well, I think they all think that you're a real jerk. You're just picking on this guy that's trying to be
a
pastor.
But he secretly loves him, though. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, if they're in tune to the situation like you are, you know, intelligent, emotionally aware, but if they're brutes like Justin and too... You know, masculine. They won't pick up on the undercurrent.
I'm too masculine.
Yeah. You are the most masculine man in my life. Which says a lot about the dudes I hang out with.
I cry at about every movie I've ever seen.
That's right.
And Iron Man 2. Whiplash is dead.
You know what?
Die.
I watched it today for probably the sixth time and almost cried.
What point?
What point?
Oh yeah, when Howard.
When the only point, with any man who's had a father, be in his life or not, has Howard Stark say to his son, "I built this for you, Tony.
Yeah,
you'll be able to figure this out.
You will.
You will always be my best creation."
Yeah, that was pretty powerful.
My best creation will always be
is Tony. And will always be
you, Tony. It's fair. It hit me a lot. Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
You were on your bike.
Though. I wish I had a limiter on my emotions. That's what I wish.
I wish I had a limiter in your mouth.
Hey,
we have one thanks to your asshole pastor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huh? That's right. I do.
Yeah. He said compressor. I put a limiter and it's better.
All right. It sounds great to me.
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's beautiful. I haven't actually listened to the stream, so I have no idea what it sounds like.
Well, this part sounds amazing, and then I got to run it through the compressor, which makes it sound bad, and then I take that and I just throw it away, and then I may run it through the hard limiter and it sounds good.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Nate,
good
what do you want to talk about? Because you don't want to talk about volunteering. Obviously.
No, we'll talk about volunteering. Oh, so I feel tired. Like that's I feel like that kind of came out of nowhere.
No, really?
And that story is a little bit bigger for me than just, hey, how's volunteering at Ecclesia?
Well, I was trying to work it in because you know, so often I sit here and listen to and am very entertained with Justin talking to other comedians about sleeping in roach hotels or whatever it is they do, or sitting on buses and watching people. Buy them free drinks.
When he says listen, clearly he's mispronouncing zoning out.
That's true. so I thought maybe we could talk about something I know about that I spend 40 hours a week on, which is managing our volunteers at our church that I love, and I love the lead pastor.
How did you find Ecclesia?
I did church shopping. I'd heard about it. I actually had a friend who went there several years ago, but then he's...
Didn't Brian, your old roommate, go there too, or no?
You worked at a church?
I do work at a church. That's like my day job. Out in Pasadena, Paznaz.
Is it a Nazarene church?
It's a Nazarene church, yeah.
Is that really?
That's where I used to go, but then I started working there and got completely burnt out and then had to get away. That's why I went and became anonymous and church shopped, found Ecclesia, burnt out, didn't want to be known.
Yeah.
Didn't want to volunteer, didn't want to do anything. So
Very common for our congregation.
That's why I hid
for
like a year to kind of just sort of recoup and not get too involved and just sort of appreciate it for on Sundays and get and just basically take from the congregation as opposed to kind of give back. But then after a year, I realized, okay, I've healed, I've reached sort of my limit. I can sort of start giving back because I think community is important and I liked Ecclesia's community. I like the people there from what I could tell, even though I didn't really know anybody that much. I knew a couple people.
Sure.
But even those people, like, I didn't see them on Sundays ever.
Yeah.
So now it's weird because now it's like now I have people to sit with and it's like cool.
Yeah, buddies. Are you in a community group?
I am not.
All right. So not bad.
That's like the next step. But I have something going on every single night this week.
Right.
I left Tuesdays open for you guys.
That's very nice.
So committing to a community group is, I mean, it's a commitment. It's something that I want to be there for. So
what's a community group for somebody that doesn't know?
It's how we make big church small. It's an opportunity once a week for about a dozen or so people to meet in a house or an office building or somewhere and discuss the sermon, get to know each other, pray together, and do community in small groups. So you sign on for a 9-month commitment from the fall to the...
Commitment.
That's so my grandma's church would call that Bible study.
Yeah, it's a Bible study, home groups, life groups. They have a bunch of different names. We chose community groups because we were calling them home groups. And then we weren't having them always in homes. So people meet in offices. And
were people angry? Like, hold on, this is clearly in a conference room. I wanted a home group. I wanted homemade cookies and cupcakes. This is bullshit.
It was fine, but somebody decided that it needed to change.
Are they listening?
I don't know.
Fuck you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. It felt good, right? I'm going to hand you a whole list of things I need to get off my chest. And you can just go. And I'll be like, Justin, no.
Yeah.
I love Joseph.
That was the first one. That's right, Joseph. I hope you're listening. I hope you got all that in.
Yeah, soak it up. Well, good. I'm glad that you're plugged in. What do you do at your day job at Paznaz?
I do the graphic design stuff for
them. Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I'm the graphics.
Isn't that what you do, too?
I was. I was doing all the graphics.
That's me.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not what I want to do, but it's a good survival job.
You want to do in life, you're saying, it's not what you want to do at the church? Or
no, it's not what I want to do in life.
Okay.
It's fine at the church. It's my survival job. It's what I do to pay my bills and
so you can
get by in
you
LA.
Do graphic design. You could design websites, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I designed my own website. That's what like for Diving for Chickens. I did all of our print material. That was the beginning of it. I really had no idea what I was doing at the time.
I remember because you were kind of saying I made this and it looked good. Like I was like, no, this is perfect. This
you
is
had
great.
A box of crayons and you're like, check this out. This is great.
What if you did?
And actually, Don
put this on a printer. Nate.
Don Frankel's daughter drew a chicken being choked. Do you remember this? Yes. Like a chicken being choked.
Man,
he's like,
awesome.
Oh, my daughter drew this and thought this would be funny for our Diving for Chickens logo. I'm like, well, it doesn't really fit Diving for Chickens, but I'll put it on the postcard. Yeah. So it's on there. There's a nice chicken being choked on the front of our postcard off the edge.
Oh, those are good times.
Good times were being had
by all of us. So I want to talk about two because here's the next
two?
Show.
Is he on the show?
Nope. Oh. We should have Monaghan. I just realized
that's a good guy.
Yeah. Too.
He's Asian.
I love him.
Yep. His name's Tu, T-W-O?
Yeah, T-H-U, Tu Tran.
Like Thursday.
Vietnamese guitarist, actor, funny guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Good times.
Yeah.
Is it Vietnamese?
Did you kiss him too?
I was just going to make that joke.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. Okay. I messed with him because it was his first time at Great American. But anyway, blah, blah, blah.
He was 19.
What I was going to talk about is that you have a career as an actor.
I do. Well, I'm trying.
No, come on. I think you're doing pretty well.
I wish we could vodcast for that one moment. You kind of stared off and I'm trying.
It's hard out here. 7 years. Been out here 7 years. It's kind of getting
but you like I was looking
little.
At your Facebook the other day or whatever before my phone rang, and you were saying things like, "Hey, I got this coming up," and then there I was on this
auditioning for Law and Order Los Angeles tomorrow, and I'm here with you guys.
Wow.
I got auditioning for two roles.
Cool. Is it, like, but want a rapist or want a dirty clerk?
No. I'll take either one of those. That would be a nice change of pace for me.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'd love to
be a rapist. Normally get, like, the ex-boyfriend that got burnt?
No, I'm like police guy.
Oh, really? Sure, of course.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm the man. I'm like the authority. I'm like the all-American.
Yeah, the young one, right? You're like the rookie cop.
Yeah. Like, I'm auditioning for, like, Coroner's Tech and Sid Tech tomorrow. Yeah.
So what kind of shows have you booked?
Criminal Minds, Days of Our Lives, Bold and the Beautiful, The Event, and House. House comes up later this month.
Oh, how was
The Event? Good, because I saw that, and I was like, I watch House all the time, and I miss you. I saw you in that film with Colin Hanks with John
Buck
Malkovich.
Howard, yeah.
Yes. What's it called again?
The Great Buck Howard. They cut my lines. I have lines. I talk, but they cut them all out. So it's like I look like an extra just sitting there in the scene. Like, dang it, I talked.
And you don't get paid.
And they didn't. No, I got paid, but I didn't even get credited, which really pissed me off.
You didn't look like an extra to me.
Oh, good.
Because I saw you. And
I was
like,
in the previews. People were calling me from the previews because I was in that, like, the little, like, 1 minute preview that they would show on airplanes and on TV and wherever. And I had people calling, I just saw you in The Great Buck Howard. I'm like, it's not even in theaters, but. I was prominently in the preview. Didn't talk.
Sitting right next to Colin Hanks right there. Yeah. It's kind of funny when you get an obscure movie that's recommended to you by Netflix, and then you see your friend on it. Like, I was like, hey, look at that.
Only in LA.
I texted, or no, I sent you an email or something, like, as soon as or a message on Facebook or whatever, when I saw it. Like, I was watching it, and I was like, hey. And I went, hey, I just saw you on The Great Book of Hour.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
So, in those experiences that you've had, do you have a favorite? Do you have a not-so-favorite?
Criminal Minds is probably my favorite, because I got to do the most. Mm-hmm. I got to work with the stunt coordinator guy. Like, I got beat up and killed and, like, had, like, blood on me and
in,
like,
that
did,
order.
did fight choreography and stuff, and then unfortunately all the fight sequences got cut out because it was too violent is what I heard.
So you taped them, but then they got cut out of the episode.
I mean you were too good
at getting your ass kicked.
I think so. Everyone was calling me a pussy on the set too. They're like, fight back. But the director was like, no, you're scared. The moment you see them, you're scared. I'm like, but I don't want to be scared. I want to have a little bit of bite to me and not just be like one note the entire time. He's like, nope. You see him, you're scared. I'm like, dang it.
And you take it every hit.
And I did.
That's awesome.
I did. They're beating up my girlfriend too. They kill me and my girlfriend.
Oh my gosh, let's watch this.
I'm picking her up. It's on my website. You
What's your website?
NateWitty.com.
Boom.
Right inside. Criminal Minds, it's right there.
It's going.
I got all my clips. I haven't put The Event up yet. My brief moment on The Event, but
were you The Event?
Oh, that would be
cool. I was a 1940s fighter pilot, though.
What is this show about?
Spoiler alert!
It was already out. It's the second episode.
Oh,
come on. Well, actually, honestly, I haven't even watched any of it.
I don't think anybody's watching it except for the executives going, "Come on, Lost."
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I want it to go so that it keeps replaying my episode. Yeah.
If they make 5 years and you get syndicated, then you can get another chance.
Especially if your key thing, like previously on this other Lost show.
You know, it's in the contract. You don't get paid for that.
Really?
And the thing that you signed, I always wonder that myself. I'm like,
because that's like two episodes technically.
What?
Right? Isn't that how?
Yeah.
The idea would be that if you're in the previously on, then you're technically in two episodes as opposed to just one.
Or every episode.
See what I'm saying?
So
I wonder, does that also cover the title sequence?
I don't know. Maybe.
Because that's what I thought.
I really don't read the fine print. I just
look at where am I not getting paid?
Yeah.
Our good friend Fred Cross, whose grandmother I offended at his wedding.
Not my wedding. His wedding.
His wedding. That's what I said. He was on Weeds recently, and he got the cliffhanger ending of one episode, and then it picked up and added on. So he got, essentially, it was two episodes for doing one scene.
That's
oh, I hope that was an extra paycheck for him.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
That does count. Yeah.
When I did Bold and the Beautiful, like, you would shoot a couple episodes in a day.
Like a soap opera. This is what's interesting, too, is that you come in for the all-American, like, rookie cop. All I ever got called in was out-of-shape guy.
Yeah.
This is just to give you paint a mental picture of the difference in attractiveness between a Nate Witty and a Justin Worsham, that I get called in for out-of-shape guy. Although I didn't book a lot of those, except for one. I booked, that was how I got SAG eligible, was the Nike commercial.
Did you pick up on that? Are you in SAG?
No.
No, you just
don't. My agent told me, do not pay the dues now.
Yeah.
She said, because they're about to go on a strike maybe in June. This is like 3 years ago, four years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and if they do, you could still do non-union work. But if you get another one, then they make you anyway. So she said, just take the paycheck from that one and do it. So That was probably an uninteresting story.
I found it fascinating. Good.
That's the nitty gritty. That's the stuff that we have to deal with.
Right. Yeah, so I want to talk about what's your like least favorite, or do you feel comfortable talking about that?
Least favorite. No, I just got to think of what it would be. It's not that I have a lot to choose from. Maybe. No, I enjoyed House. I love it. Like, I mean, this is what I want to do. So mm-hmm. I don't really have a least favorite.
What did you do on House?
House is great. I know House was great. I got to work with Matthew Lillard, which I'm probably not supposed to say, but it's totally on IMDb. If you looked up my episode, you'd see that he's on it too. So I got to work with him, which is cool.
Matthew Lillard of Scream fame and Scooby-Doo, the movie.
Shaggy. So I got to work with him. Small part, like it's cool that I'm
are
there.
You the sick guy or the sick guy's friend?
No, it's like it's in the opening sequence, so I'm a bike messenger.
Yeah
wearing like a hat with a bike. But we shot a 15-hour day to start. We were down in the North Hollywood subway, and my day started at 6:30 p.m. and then we didn't wrap until 10 a.m. the next day. Mm-hmm. So it was all night.
Was that part of the plan? Did you know that was going to be that long?
We knew it was going to go till about 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. or so, but they kept going and kept going. And actually, they then built that underground set like on the Fox lot and had to do some matching shots the following Friday. So I got called back again. So I'm
not bad.
So I worked 2 days. I'm only in the episode for probably like that first couple pages. But I worked 2 days and I got paid a buttload of money because of all that overtime that I got. So I want that thing to run so much. Just run that show into the ground.
It's so
season 7, episode 9.
House is a strong chance for syndication, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be. Yeah.
It's not already in syndication?
It's like in its 7th season, right?
Well, the show's going to go in syndication after 4.
That's all 5, if it was what I heard, is the magic number.
5 is what you prefer, but you can see it in 4. Yeah.
What is it, 96 episodes or something?
Yeah, you need at least 70 to be in syndication.
So, but, no, not 96.
But that would be a preferred number. It would be a preferred number. Be in the 90s. It would sell better, for sure, if a show makes it on. You know, like the original Star Trek only had 72. It was the 60s. The rules are different, but
that's true.
Yeah.
Now, when you go into say like an audition or something like that, is it still nerve wracking for you at all? Or
it's less so. Like the reason why I'm busy on so many nights is I run workshops at the Actors Key. I'll give them a plug to the 700 people listening.
Yeah, sign up now. Early enrollment.
Yeah, actorskey.com. It's 20% off. No,
sits on the website right next to natewitty.org.
Yeah, .com.
I'm sorry. What'd you call me?
I'm not an.
I'm Grizz.
Great show.
Great show.
But yeah, so I do.
You don't get that reference. Fuck you.
Yeah. Thanks for reading the card. How are we doing on time there?
We're close.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I'll wrap this up. So I do a lot of workshops. So I know most of the casting people in this town now, which is great. So that's why I'm getting called in for this stuff.
Fantastic.
And so I go in and I know the people. So I'm not that nervous anymore.
I've been here 5 years? Is that 4 years?
No, longer than that.
6 years.
So I've been here 6. So
I came just after you.
Your wife came just after me. And then you came like 5 months later.
5 months? I came a month later. A month later.
He was on the road. His wife moved her butt all the way down here by herself while he was out working.
You're insensitive.
And rolled up here in Los Angeles. She chose a place to live. She chose the town. She moved it in herself. She set it all up. And all he did was come off the road instead of going to Modesto, which is like a backwoods town, to Canoga Park. Mm-hmm. Which is like a backwoods town.
How dare you? How dare you? We had wildfires. It's the full Los Angeles experience. We had wildfires across the street. It was like being in an amusement park of wildflowers and fires. The flowers were on a wildfire.
Woo. That sounds amazing. I want to live in a city of wildflowers.
Canoga Park.
But Canoga Park is even the mascot for the high school has a gun. That's in their video.
Yeah.
What's that tourist video?
They did one like up Cleveland or whatever. Our economy's based on LeBron James. All right. So let's wrap it up. I don't know what we were really talking about.
Nate Whitty, everybody.
Yeah.
Should we have him on next week? That's the question.
Well, I don't know. Does he have time?
I have time.
All right. See you next week.
I'll keep my Tuesdays open.
Sweet.
Okay. Remember, you could send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com or you can call us 408-228-4911. I am going to be at the Denver Improv November 26th through 28th. I'm going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena on December 3rd and 4th. And heads up, Just added this week, I'm going to be at JD's Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, December 9th through 11th. All my stand-up dates are available at justincomedy.com. Please go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, take our survey, like us on Facebook, and if you are so inclined, I'm just going to throw this out there to the nerd who's listening. We, on the Dads Are More Fun side, have enough subscribers that now we're making money.
Hey,
so
how did that happen?
More people wanted to support the show than this one.
Well, the people who were listening to that show probably are used to throwing money away at their child. So they're like,
so they decided,
sure,
we're going to throw a couple bucks a month over the other
people
way.
People who listen to this show are like, well, that's $2. That's a burrito for lunch tomorrow.
I think that we need, I don't know, though. I want to say off the top of my head, I did look at, I think we need 5 more people to break even.
Oh, well,
in order to.
And how many more to get the super pups?
That's long gone, my friend.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
That would be 190. 95, I think is what the number we set it at. So. It was 200.
You can read my blog at churchinhollywood.com/Kevin's blog, mm-hmm. all one word. Don't go to my website, thekevinmiller.com. It's tired. It needs a rejuvenation. If only I knew like a web designer.
Yep, never going to happen.
Graphic artist.
If you want to hear the infamous Joseph Barkley not be a colossal asshole and do what he does best, you can do a search in iTunes for Church and Ecclesia, right?
No, Church and Hollywood. Or just look up Joseph Barkley and you'll find
He'll find in there?
His music. His beautiful, sweet singing voice.
No, I was thinking of his sermons. I don't know about his music.
Oh, yeah, you go to churchinhollywood.com/podcasts. And so if you want to subscribe to that podcast, now that you're done with this one, go check it out. He preaches pretty much every week.
Pretty much.
Sometimes it's Nate. Oh. Nate, you got any plugs?
No, NateWoody.com.
Come on, what do you got coming up? You got House?
Yeah, I got House. I got an audition. I don't even know when House is airing. Like, it looks like it's November 22nd, but then I think there's things going to push it back.
So throw a season pass on for House.
Yeah, season pass
go back
House.
And check out episode 2 of the event.
Episode 2 of the event.
Go back and look at some Criminal Minds.
Season 5, episode 4.
Contact your grandma and see if she remembers seeing an All-American Boy on her stories.
On her stories.
During
just
the day.
Say yes.
Yeah. I got a name there. They brought me back. I was on Bold and the Beautiful for 5 episodes, so.
What?
I am Zev. I actually had people contacting me on Facebook who were like, we saw you. I had people finding my website and emailing me from New Hampshire, I think.
Nice.
Like telling me, oh, we just saw you. We really enjoyed your character, blah, blah, blah. We hope you come back.
Wow.
So I have like a little on
little
Facebook now. I have a designation for fans. There's only like 3 people in it, but where they can't see my personal information.
Oh, that's pretty great.
All right. Well, then we'll have more on Bold and the Beautiful then next week. So on behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller and Nate Whitty, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.